The internet remembers everything, but shouldn't some things be forgotten? Well, that's a question that has been occupying Georgetown University's Meg Jones. She studies law and technology, and she thinks we have a legal right to be forgotten because embarrassing or revealing personal details can really hurt us personally and also professionally.
We see this time and time again in employment settings where something that even things that seem innocuous or not that harmful are considered to be poorly reflective on the company or the institution, and an individual gets fired for it. But there's a lot of other things. You know, whether if you search somebody on Google after you see what their Google results are, do you want to go on a first date with them?
Will you also document some cases where the fact that the internet never forgets anything winds up victimizing people who are already victims? You know, for example, a rape victim who has struggled and struggled to move past this, and yet maybe 20 years later, if somebody Googles her name, the articles about her rape may be the first thing that come up. So maybe the first thing that her employers or her potential dates learn about her. Are there other examples like that that come to your mind?
One of the other things that we talk about in the book is when somebody decides to change their gender. And that can be really challenging for particularly American kids who, by 2 years old, 92% of American kids have an online presence. So if at some point through adolescence or adulthood they decide to change their gender, that is a lot of material to combat, and to re-identify as a different gender can be really challenging.
Well, and we haven't even talked about cases where somebody with malicious intent might post something about you that they've dug up possibly from their own history with you. I'm thinking about this relatively new thing, revenge porn.
Yeah, revenge porn is a category, I guess, of information that resides on sites specifically for humiliating your ex in a way that exposes them through some sexual content. So for the most part, what we see are videos and photographs of women passed out and somewhat naked. And this is obviously malicious, but it's also really challenging to get down.
We're kind of circling around the question of, are you allowed to be forgotten? Like, if you want to be forgotten, should that be a basic human right?
So it is a basic human right in Europe, and it has gotten some traction around the world. There's a case happening in India right now. Japan, Russia have all acknowledged a right to be forgotten as a fundamental right within their privacy rights. In the United States, I don't think we're ready to answer that question yet. We're sort of at this moment that I think is so exciting, where we're having to ask ourselves which American ideology we want to foster. We have this long history of second chances and reinvention, and you can be anything here. And then we also have this right to know.
Well, but you could easily talk about, say, kids. Anybody who's had a teenager or an elementary school kid knows that they take stupid, stupid pictures of themselves doing things that will get them in trouble. And then they leave that stuff up on their Facebook pages. And, you know, every time one of those kids applies to college, their parents say, have you cleaned up your Facebook page? But still, that stuff's out there. And shouldn't kids be allowed to grow up?
Yeah. And a lot of this is also about remembering that, for the most part, the really bad horror stories that we hear about people online is just bad luck, that it could really happen to anyone. A lot of times when we look into the details of things, it's somebody accidentally pushed the wrong button, somebody's phone got stolen. There's a lot of ways that information leaks.
Have you taken steps yourself to try to limit the amount of digital information that exists about you?
I have. I don't have a Facebook page. I think not having one limits the amount of information about me online. You know, I use encrypted apps on my phone it's not easy to encrypt everything that you do on your phone. You know, I put the little piece of tape over my camera on my desktop, which you should too.
Wait, I don't know about that. I'm supposed to put a piece of tape over the my engineer is nodding at me like, yes, dummy.
Yeah.
Wait, that camera can just come on and take pictures of me when I don't know?
Yeah, there's a whole underbelly of people, of hackers, who hack women's webcams and trade access to their webcams. They call the individuals, the women that they're spying on through their webcams, their slaves. But yeah, your webcam is so easy to hack. If someone's in your computer, it's really easy for that to be on and for you to not know it. And so it's just best to cover it up with a piece of duct tape.
Sort of like not undressing with the windows, with the shades up.
Well, and what's amazing about this group of individuals is that they're not even necessarily looking for anything sexual or intimate. They just love the power of watching someone do these tedious tasks on their computer without the individuals knowing.
That's classic voyeur.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know, listening to you partly makes me never want to go near my computer again, except that that's impossible. You know, it's a different, when I talk to somebody like you, I just suddenly realize that I tend to think of my gadgets, you know, my phone, my computer, as under my control. And I think of it as a one-way thing, right? So that anything I enter, I'm entering and I'm putting in there. It just doesn't occur to me to think of it as a two-way mirror.
You should think of it as a million-way mirror. There are so many access points to your device. So you have one, but all of your apps have another, and they share information with the cloud, and the cloud shares information amongst other cloud servers. It's really a way, an extension of you into this entity that has millions of nodes and access points. So while you have one interface, there are lots and lots of entities that have other interfaces into your information.
Meg Jones is a law and technology professor at Georgetown University, and she's the author of Control Plus Z, The Right to be Forgotten.